Okay, so today we get to do the first of Rav Hirsch's Torot, okay? So again, this is, we talked last time about how Rav Hirsch categorizes his mitzvos, and the first section are basically hashkafic mitzvos. It's fascinating. He categorizes mitzvos in different ways. Everyone does it in different ways. And his first kind of mitzvah is called Toros, okay? Here's how he defines it. Ready? In the beginning of Toros. Fundamental principles relating to mental and spiritual preparation for life. So when you read that, you're like, wait, what? What did that really say? Okay, here's his footnote from how he explains it in the 19 letters. If you guys remember on campus one time, I gave a whole chabura just on this footnote. You guys probably don't, but you might. It was that chabura where for the first like 20 minutes, we talked about like light and how light is like neither a particle nor a wave. And everybody's Charnoff was in the background being like, I thought you were teaching Torah. What is this? Okay, so that was all actually coming off of this specific footnote. Because he says this. This is how he defines Toros in 19 letters. Instructions or doctrines, the historically revealed ideas concerning God, the world, and the mission of humanity and of Israel. Not as mere doctrines of faith or science, but as principles to be acknowledged by mind and heart and realized in life. We're going to get a little bit more into that today because he also talks about that in the first paragraph of the first mitzvah, which we're doing today. But that one line, actually, again, this is all just in parentheses, but that one line blew my mind when I read it. That is Rav Hirsch's hashkafa on general mitzvos and general Torah in general, is that it's not a doctrine of religion or science. I remember thinking, what's a doctrine of science? And then I remember thinking, everything is a doctrine of science. Like, Arya and I are reading this National Geographic magazine, and it talks about how everybody has enough blood vessels to, like, go around the earth four times. Mashu kaze. And I'm like, nobody believes that. Right? You know it's true because you read it somewhere and you believe in the scientific method and science in general. But like to believe it in your gut, you would be shocked if like in every mitochondria that we have has enough like, what's it called? DNA to go between here and the moon 4.5 times. Like you'd be shocked if someone actually stretched out the DNA in your mitochondria and that it went between here and the moon 4.5 times in every one of our cells. Like it's insane to think about, but we just accept it because it's a doctrine of science. So Rav Hirsch is like, we're not doing that with religion. We're not just accepting stuff because it's a doctrine of religion. That is against our moral standards here. Okay, so in this chabura too, it's against our moral standards. Okay, but here we go. This is how we're going to structure this chabura. We're going to talk about the mitzvah. We're going to talk about, if we can, how the Sefer HaChinuch talks about the mitzvah, because I think that's kind of like how we generally were taught any of these big picture mitzvahs, which all of the Toros basically are. And the next thing that we're going to do is learn Rav Hirsch on it, okay? And see how the two of those together give us like a wholesome perspective. We did the same kind of thing in Pirkei Avos. We learned Rabbeinu Yonah and then Rav Hirsch to give us like a wholesome view of it. Hi, Carrie. Okay, ready? So here we go. Here's the Sefer HaChinuch. Sorry, I just hit this without sharing with you. Let me go back to you. Share screen. Could totally do this. Share screen. Here we go. Okay. Here's the first mitzvah. Okay. Rav Hirsch calls it, and we're doing Hirschian. Hi, Bracha Cohen. So nice to see you. Hey. Gosh, guys. Hi. It's the old guard. Some of the old guard are back. All right. Ready? Here we go. Some of the new guard are back. Mostly the old guard are back. Okay. Ready? So Rav Hirsch calls it the sovereignty of God. Okay. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And again, we're going to always give that title that Rav Hirsch gives it. Sefer HaChinuch, we're going to see, is going to call it something else. But here's the mitzvah. Ready? Tell me if you recognize it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beis avadim. I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage. Now, does anyone recognize that phrase? Hi, Eliana. Does everyone recognize that phrase? Yes. Why do you recognize it? Because it's the first of the... Okay? And if you had to guess what that mitzvah was teaching us, what would you say that mitzvah is teaching us? What have we historically learned that mitzvah teaches us? What do we expect the Sefer HaChinuch and Rav Hirsch to say? Who wants to volunteer? You're like, you're asking a leading question, Chana. You're trying to get me in your rabbit hole and I'm not going to step into it. Come on. Anyone? All right, I'll ask you a different question on the other side. Ready? Here we go. So here's the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch does not call this Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. He calls it something else. He calls it Mitzvahs Ha'emana B'Metzias Hashem. The mitzvah of believing in God. Is this more what we've learned about? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'beis Avadim. The first of the Asaras HaDibros, to believe in God. Yes? Someone say no if this is not what you've learned before. Okay, the Sefer HaChinuch is not telling us anything new, really. Here we go, okay? Here's how he's explaining it. Lahamin sheyesh olam eloka echad, to believe that there's one God, shehimtzi kol hanimtza, that came, that made being all the things that exist, umikocho v'chefzo haya kol ma shehu, v'shehaya v'sheyehiyeh l'adead, and everything that exists and everything that will exist is all because of him. V'chi hu hotzianu meres Mitzrayim, v'nasan lanu es haTorah, and he brought us out of Mitzrayim and he gave us the Torah. Uperishu ki'ilu amar v'tevi v'taminu sheyesh olam eloka, kimilas anochi Torah salamatios, right? The main point here is that it says Anochi Hashem, and God can't say I am God if there is no God. So the fact that God says Anochi, I am God, teaches us that there is a God, and that's the most important thing. Va'asher Amar Shifra, I am not available. Va'asher Amar Asher Hotzia Acha, love you. Good night. Go to sleep. Go back to bed. Love you. See you later. Bye. Bye. Say hi. Say bye. Bye. Good night. Go back to your bed and don't come out again. Va'asher, I'm going to be parenting classes next, everybody. Okay. Va'asher amar, asher hotziya, hotzeisicha v'chule, lomar, shelo yivte levavchem lakachas inyan tzeischa me'abdos Mitzrayim, makos Mitzrayim, derech mikra. Okay, and it says again, Hashem says that he took us out of Mitzrayim, so we shouldn't think that it just happened, but we should know that it was basically Hashem who took us out, b'chifetz u'b'hashgacha, with will and with providence. Okay, Hashem intentionally took us out. K'moshi yivteich levasinu l'avram yitzchak l'Yaakov. Shkoyach. Okay. So here, I want everyone to put on your analysis caps for 1 second. How many parts, let's ask it this way, okay? How many parts are there to this mitzvah? Somebody turn on your microphone or write it in the chat as soon as you have an idea, okay? He basically says, what is this mitzvah? What's the point of this mitzvah? And he just gave us 3 separate things. Who could figure out what they are? Whoops, sorry. Here we go again. Sorry, guys. All right. Okay, here are the 3. L'ha'amin sheyesh la'olam eloka echad. There is a God. 1. Shehimzi kol nimtza mikocho v'chatzo kol ma shehaya v'shehaya v'sheyehi el adead. Right? He's control of everything. Everything that he has already done. And what he's already done to us. Okay, those are the 3 parts. Here we go. Here they are down here. I made a little chart. Ready? There's one God. All of this, all that he's done and will do, and all that he's done to us. Okay, the Sefer Chinuch goes on. Shorsha mitzvah. This is at this point, I was like, we don't need English. We're all going to do this in Hebrew anyway. So apologies for the chart with half of it unfilled. Shorsha mitzvah zo. Ein tzarich beir. You don't need to explain it. Of course you need this kind of mitzvah that everyone needs to believe that there's a God. Yodua hadavar v'nigla l'chol ki emunah hazo yisod hadas v'asher lo ya'amin bezeh kover be'ikar. Okay, I'm actually going to skip the rest of it. Okay, so basically, this needs to be, then he goes on to say, like, basically, it shouldn't just stay like a cognitive understanding, it should somehow, I'll just go. Shekol zem machazik v'koveya ha'amanas ha'liv kishe motzi hadavar min ha'koach ha'lapoel. There's some active ingredient here that is trying to get it past just your understanding of God and into your heart. He doesn't explain what he means. Ritzoni lomar sheyakayim b'divarav piv masha libo gomer. Somehow, what you believe about God has to translate into action. Okay? And then he says, az yakayim mitzvas ase zo mitzvah mina muvchar. Then you're really going to be keeping this mitzvah. Okay, so we can get into that, but we're not actually going to hear because we're going to try to keep it less than like 4 hours. Okay, dinei mitzvah zo. Listen to this, okay? Here has dinei mitzvah, and I want you to ask me the main question that you should have about the Sefer Chinuch after the first part, and then reading this. Dinei mitzvah zu, what are we asking? What's this mitzvah asking us to do? Kegon ma shemechayiv aleinu, l'ha'amin alav. We have to believe in God. B'shegol ha'yecholos v'kol ha'gedola v'ha'gevura v'hatifaras v'chol ha'hod v'chol ha'bracha v'chol ha'kiyum bo. God is everything. And actually, we can't understand it at all. Right, because only he can understand it, and we can understand anything, and everything that goes with this, and all the other things that you could know about what God is and what God isn't. Like, God doesn't have a body, because he doesn't have any limitations, right? He goes on and on and on. And then he says, if you want to know more, look up books that talk about the philosophy of God. Ashrei hazochim ha'ila. Okay, and it's great if you could therefore fulfill this mitzvah. I actually forgot to put one major line here. Okay, his concluding line. Sorry, let me just take out my Sefer HaChinuch over here. His concluding line is, V'zos min ha-mitzvah she'in lahem zman yadua. It's not a time-bound mitzvah. She'kol yimei adam chayav lichios b'machshav azu. That all the days of someone's life, he has to live with this understanding. So, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, did Rav Hirsch categorize this in the correct place? Yes, right? Sefer HaChinuch also holds that this is a machshava mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that requires how we think about the world. What was the strange thing about that last paragraph of Sefer HaChinuch? Did anyone catch it? I'll share the screen with you again. Did anyone catch what was surprising about that last paragraph based on his first paragraph? Again, he goes on and on about our understanding of God and who God is and who God isn't and what God is and what God isn't, and you should go look it up in the philosophy books. And what does he totally leave out? Let's do this. Ready? Sharing my screen again. Let's go back to the text of the mitzvah. Yeah, Bracha Cohen.
Maybe relationship with God.
Say it again.
Maybe he leaves out our relationship with God and like what...
Okay, good. And why would you... Good, you're right. Why would you expect it... Why would you expect him to include that?
I mean, whenever you go into a super philosophical conversation about God, you have to answer the question of why does God want humans?
Okay, good. So Bercha's like, well, if you philosophize about it, you'd have to get there eventually. I want a more concrete answer than that. Shalama, what were you going to say? Or Sima, whoever it was that just unmuted themselves?
It was me. The mitzvah starts with this whole thing about Egypt.
Good. Awesome. Awesome, right? The mitzvah, he only paid attention to half of the pasuk. The pasuk goes like this, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And he only talks about one word. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 words in the pasuk, and he talks about one of them, which is Anochi. Right? He offhand mentions the whole thing about Mitzrayim in the first part about the Mishnah. I'm used to saying Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. In the first part about the pasuk, or whatever, in his first explanation of the mitzvah, he talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but then he totally neglects it. And again, and what's the other support? What does he categorize this mitzvah as? Mitzvahs ha'amana b'metzias Hashem. His mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to believe in God. And he really gets that from one word of the pasuk, which is Anochi, or possibly Anochi Hashem, or possibly Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But really, the Elokecha, Asher Tetzicha, Meretz Mitzrayim, Yibetz Avadim, he totally, basically neglects. When he says Shakol Yimei Adam Chayav Lichios B'Machshav Azu, whatever it is, Shakol Yimei Adam Chayav Lichios B'Machshav Azu, yes, okay, those words. The Machshava that he's talking about is our correct understanding, our philosophical understanding of God, like Bracha Kona was just talking about. Okay, so what happened to that other half of the Pasuk? And again, frankly, this is how I always learned it. Also, right, Anochi Hashem. It's about God. Mostly. And then, like, you know, again, the offhand is like, and by the way, he's your God. Otherwise, religion falls apart, right? If you're just, like, talking in abstraction, it's too much in abstraction. Okay, Rav Hirsch has, again, not a drastically different read, but a drastically different emphasis. Okay, and you can guess with my leading suggestions what he's going to say. Okay, so let's go into Rav Hirsch for a second here. Okay, Rav Hirsch, again, categorizes this as Kabbalas Omachu Shemayim. That's his categorization of the mitzvah. Here we go. Here's Rav Hirsch. Okay. Again, anyone who has suggestions about how I could Pirush English, I'm open to it because I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. But at least for now, let's just read Rav Hirsch and talk about what he says. Okay. Here's his introduction paragraph. It's his first paragraph of his first mitzvah. Here's what it looks like in Rav Hirsch. It's super beautiful, right? It's just like really exciting to have like a blank page and then you have that. And here we go. Life. So his first paragraph is really an introduction to all the mitzvot, but definitely this one. Life as lived should be the flower of knowledge. What does that mean? It took me a while to understand that. I'm not super poetic. I'm like, what is he talking about? Okay, so I think it means that, like, everything grows out of something else. So life should grow out of knowledge, right? That's our basic assumption, is that, like, life is the flower that grows out of our understanding of the world or our understanding of anything. But in order that life may blossom, in order that life may blossom, out of knowledge, knowledge alone is not enough. Okay? So he's saying, if you want your life to grow out of something, if you think your life, or life in general, like real life, right, is life with a capital I, L, is going to grow out of something, and you think that something is knowledge alone, you're only your cognitive, your philosophical understanding of the world, you're in trouble. Okay, that's Rav Hirsch's opening sentence here. The knowledge with which you have enriched your mind must be applied to yourself. What's missing? What's missing? It's fascinating. It's not emotions that are missing. It's not rationality and emotions. It's rationality. It's knowledge and experience. Your human experience. Your human experience. That's what he's going to go into here. The knowledge with which you have enriched your mind must be applied to yourself. You must recognize what you know as appertaining to you. You must transfer it from the mind to the heart, which decides your course of action. It must penetrate you through and through. It must become part of yourself. Then only will it become the basis of activity. It will become your life. Okay, so if you just know stuff, it's not enough. You have to know stuff and you have to relate it and apply it to your own experience. And that's how it becomes part of you, which is the goal, not only of this mitzvah, not only of the Toros, but of the Chorev. Okay, so this actually is Rav Hirsch's basically thesis statement of his goal here. That's what he's trying to do. Help us understand things, not only understand it, but help us understand it in our own lives and how it resonates with our personal experience, because that's how it becomes part of yourself. It will become your life. Quote, end quote. So also with the highest of all concepts, God. Okay, this is like a mind-blowing statement. Okay, now he's actually getting into this pasuk. Okay, ready? Here's the pasuk again. He says this. It's not just like sukkis that you have to understand it and then apply it to your life. It's not just shofar and tshuva that you have to understand it and apply it to your life. It's also God, the highest of all concepts. So also with the highest of all concepts, God. I don't think I would ever write this sentence, but I love that Rav Hirsch did. You can't just understand God. You have to somehow apply God to your life. What does that mean? What's he about to say? I'm going to read the next two paragraphs kind of fast, and that's it, okay? And then we only have this line, and there were a few other paragraphs of Rav Hirsch, but I think that we're just going to discuss this and leave it at that, okay? I'm going to read these two paragraphs kind of fast, and then we're going to go back into them, okay? But I want you to get the main gist of what he's trying to say here. Ready? Here we go. Your idea of God may be something more than the result of a chain of reasoning pursued in total abstraction from the outside world. You may have beheld God directly in nature or perceived him in history. Holy writ, meaning the Torah, may have spoken to you as it did to generations before you in its God-revealing narratives. But you may have grasped all this only with your mind and stored it in your memory. This is not enough. So long as you did not receive God in your heart as your God and embrace him with your whole being as your God, so long as this concept is a mere denizen means like a citizen, of your brain, so long will this sovereign idea be without influence on your actual life. You may again recognize the world as the temple of God's omnipotence without, however, which again, by the way, saying that you're required to recognize the world as the temple of God's omnipotence sounds a lot like whose read of this? The Sefer HaChinuch, right? So Rav Hirsch is not disagreeing. He's just adding a new dimension, and listen to the dimension that he adds. You may, as the center point piece of this mitzvah, you may again recognize the world as the temple of God's omnipotence. You might understand that, Nochi Hashem, without, however, feeling that every spot on which you tread in this temple is hallowed to God. You may recognize in the multitude of created beings a great concourse of the servants of God, without, however, regarding and feeling yourself all, as also a creature and a servant of God. You may have recognized the lofty vocation of Israel as God's instrument in the history for the education of the human race. Love that line. Let me read that again. You may have recognized the lofty vocation of Israel as God's instrument in history for the education of the human race, without your feeling yourself to be in every fiber a son or daughter of Israel. So long as this is so, your knowledge is barren. The flower of actual life does not spring from it. Whew. Okay, so again, Rav Hirsch, we understand his basic thesis, right? Which is that knowledge is not enough. You have to have human experience, and you have to have applied human experience. Now, where did Rav Hirsch get this from? And this is the part that's really shifting in our perspective of how he's understanding the mitzvos. Where did Rav Hirsch get this from? Does he just know it? Like, he just knows it because he lives it, and that's Ashkafa? Like, we all like to believe it. So maybe he's just saying something that he would like to believe, and we'd like to believe it too, so we're willing to sign on the dotted line and Shalom Yisrael. Okay, the thing that's mind-blowing about Rav Hirsch is that he gets that hashkafa from the mitzvah. He's not telling us what he thinks the mitzvah should be saying because it sounds nice. He's telling us what the mitzvah is saying. And that's why I actually think this is like an amazingly pshat read of this mitzvah. Look at these words. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzivcha me'aretz Mitzrayim mibeis avadim. This is what Rav Hirsch is saying. In the highest of all concepts, when the Torah chooses to teach us about the highest of all concepts, meaning God, what does it do? It only has one, possibly two words in this pasuk that have anything to do with God. Anochi Hashem. And then it goes right into the other seven words having to do with the human experience of God, right? Not only God's relationship to us, or maybe I just don't like that because it's like maybe a little cliched or whatever, but it goes right into how we have experienced God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. I am Hashem, your God, who interacted with you, who has impact on your experience. That's where Rav Hirsch gets it from. He gets it from the pasuk. It's a pshat read. As soon as the Torah introduces God as something, Anochi, that the Sefer HaChanuch says, this is the mitzvah of Ha'amana B'mitzias Hashem, immediately after, in the same breath, it talks about the interaction between God and us. And that's what we're, and by the way, before we even get into Rav Hirsch's parish on it, it's not even us plural. It's us singular. It's not you plural, the people of Israel. It's you singular, a person in Israel. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisi Cha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. It's about you. And that's where Rav Hirsch gets his parish. This is teaching us the whole Hashkafa of everything. This first of the highest of all concepts, God. And so now let's go into the different pieces that he says here, okay? Hirsch does this a little bit, Rav Hirsch, I shouldn't call him Hirsch. Rav Hirsch does this a little bit where he says something's negative and something's positive, and like we have to stitch together the negative and the positive, okay? So I'm going to read this again, and then I'm going to show you my little chart down here, okay? Where I extracted everything, and then we're going to infer what we should be doing. Okay, so these are, we'll be working with some charts, okay? But don't get intimidated. Here we go again. Ready? Again, remember this hashkafa. When we talk about God, the first and only time we command people to believe in God, what follows inexplicably and in like enmeshed is our own human experience of that same God on an individual level. That's what Rav Hirsch is teaching us. Here we go. Your idea of God may be something more than the mere result of a chain of reasoning pursued in total abstraction from the outside world, right? Meaning, you should do that. You should understand God as a result of a chain of reasoning. You should do that. But it needs to be more. But Rav Hirsch is assuming that you're already there or that you're trying to get there. You may have beheld God directly in nature. That's number two. Let's list them, okay? So one is understanding God logically. Two, you may have beheld God directly in nature. We should do that. And perceived him in history. That's good. These are all good things. Holy writ, the Torah may have spoken to you as it did to generations before you. In its God-revealing narratives, the stories of the Torah could touch you. Right? But he says all this. But you may have grasped all this with your mind and stored it in your memory. It's not enough. So long as you did not receive God in your heart as your God and embrace him with your whole being as your God, as long as this concept only lives in your mind, right, it's not enough. It will have no influence on your actual life. You may again, and again, here he's going to get a little bit more specific into what he wants you to do. You may again recognize the world as a temple of God's omnipotence. You might believe in every one of those. Hemanas, what is it called? Hemanas. Mitzvah Hemanas B'mitzias Hashem. You believe 100% that Hashem exists and that he's done all the stuff that we say he's done, and still, without, however, feeling that every spot on which you tread in this temple is hallowed to God. And that's what this mitzvah is asking you, according to Rav Hirsch. Not to only understand God, to understand God and his enmeshment in your human experience. That's mitzvah number one. You may recognize in the multitude of created beings a great concourse of the servants of God. With that, however, regarding and feeling yourself also as a creature and a servant of God. You may believe that everything is God's without believing that you are God's. Are God's. You may recognize the lofty vocation of Israel as God's instrument in the history for the education of the human race without thinking that you are God's instrument in history for the education of the human race. And then again, he says, here's the thesis. It is for this reason that Israel's life history opens with the words, I, the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, I am the Lord, am your God. Thy, right? Thy is the ancient English for you, singular. We don't have that in regular English. That's why I need to use it. Thy, God, you, singular. Okay, so again, here are all the things that Rav Hirsch says. Result of a change of logical reasoning. So what do we want to do? We should believe in Hashem for that way, right? These are all the things that he says, just stum. And these are the implications of if we did have the correct perspective on this Mishnah, what would happen next, right? What would it look like? So we should believe in God as a result of change of logical reasoning. But then we say, again, what should that mean for us? These are just like, if we were all in class together in the Midrashah, I would have made you guys like map it out and make a chart and fill in this side of the chart for yourselves, okay? But we didn't, so I did it for you. But again, you could have different lashonos. But this is how I would articulate it. We have to believe in God from a chain of logical reasoning, and also believe that when I look at the world, what does that mean to me? What does that mean? It means when I look at the world around me, the inarguable facts point me towards God. Beheld God directly in nature, right? In the world around me, in my world, and everything that I perceive, which is very different. When I walk into a room, I see and smell and sense different things than Yael sees and smells and senses. And God is in my world. Perceived him in history. We perceive God in history. No. Also, God is present in my personal history. As much as I've perceived God in any parts of history, God is present in my own history too. Torah may have spoken to me. Yeah, Torah speaks to me. And it was given to me, singular tense. Recognize the world as the temple of God's omnipotence. And again, he says this, every spot in which you tread in his temple is hallowed to God. Meaning what? That my world is God's world for him, for me to do his bidding, right? It's I'm walking on God's temple and he commands me to be a priest, right? Recognizing the multitude of created beings, a great concourse of the servants of God. And then again, we want to regard and feeling yourself also as a servant and creature of God. That's his lashon, meaning I am one of those creatures and one of those servants of God. And again, this is my favorite one. Lofty vocation of Israel as God's instrument in history for the education of a human race. Feeling yourself in every fiber, a son and daughter of Israel. I am meant for God's education of the human race. I am meant for that. Me. So that is, and again, then he has like a few more pages, which is basically his call to action. It's like his introductory paragraph. And he basically says, again, here's the last three paragraphs. There's a lot of them. I was trying to figure out what to take out, but I think you really get the main thesis of his from the first page, from what we have over here, right? And then he basically calls us all together and basically says, you're a minstrel. That's his mantra of like, go out, realize that this is talking to you and Viter, you know, like then we're going to go on to understand the rest of the mitzvos. So this is it. This is it. This is rehearsed on that first mitzvah, How to do it, I'm not 100% sure. That's the question that I want you all to think about this week. I want you to post in Chabura or post to me or post to your friend. I would love to hear our actual understanding of how this can be done. Sefer HaChinuch hints at it, Rav Hirsch is extremely explicit about it, as the requirement of this first mitzvah. Again, as soon as we talk about God, we have to talk about God enmeshed in the human experience. And as Jews, we don't talk about God really, practically, in Torah, very much, without also linking God to our own experiences as human beings. And that, the more that we can get that link tighter and tighter and tighter, the more that we can see God as, like, very close to our human experiences, and the more that everything that we learn and encounter about God speaks directly to us, then, again, as he says, it will not only become, once again, what's his actual lashon? It will become the basis of your activity. It will become your life. Questions? Comments, critiques, criticisms? Queries? Coronavirus? Thanks for the smile, Carrie. Me too, Sima, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a pshat read, right? Such a pshat read of the mitzvah. I love it. It's like a mind-blowing pshat, but it's pshat.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, Lech Lecha with Abraham, where, like, he's supposedly, like, the first Av, right? The first father. And, like, that's where the Jews kind of start, in some sense, besides Matan Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's, again, like, I don't think... Like you said, we don't really find anywhere in Tanakh the abstract concept of God without it being, right? Like, I actually looked it up, and, like, the first thing we have with Abraham is, like, God telling him to leave his father's house. Like, it's speaking directly to him about his household and where he's going to live.
Yeah.
Personal.
It's crazy, right? Isn't it? And, like, if there was ever going to be, again, this mitzvah ha'manas b'metzias Hashem, right? If there was ever going to be a time to talk about God in abstraction, it would have been now. And the Torah misses it. On purpose. It totally overlooks it. It says Anochi Hashem, and then it says Elokecha, Asher Tzadichah Meretz Mitzrayim, Yivei Sabadim. By the way, right? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And like you're saying, Simon, like, we do that all the time. We do that all over the Torah, and that's intentional. That's where Rav Hirsch says the first mitzvah is to see our lives in that way, and to see God in that way, to not separate out those two things. I tell you something personal? Sima, I left the recording on because you asked me to last time, and now I'm feeling like a little like iffy about it, but I'll leave it. I'm going to turn it off.